I wonder, do you love getting letters or cards in the mail? You know, maybe something from a friend that tells you what they've been up to. Now, I know it's not a really popular thing anymore with email and text messages. But when it comes to birthdays, I think it's a good opportunity, isn't it, to write a card, especially for family members or someone close. And sometimes we just hand the card over to them. I know our family has a habit of writing cards for each other for our birthdays. And we usually write something in the card to encourage the person. We remind them of who they are for us. We remind them of who Jesus has made them to be. And we'll often put a Bible verse in the card too. And it's encouraging, isn't it, when we get something that someone has put some thought into, that they love you and that they care for you, and then they give it to you in a card. Now today we continue our series on messages at Christmas, and today's message is God's message for all of us. And as we look at the first chapter of Romans today, what we get is God's message like a card for us. And it's a reminder, isn't it? Like a card's a reminder of who we are for the person. Today it's a reminder about who we are in Jesus. It's a reminder that we belong to the gospel. And it's a reminder not to be ashamed of the gospel. Now you can see that in your outline in your bulletins today. There's an outline that you can follow there. And it'd be great to have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 1 at the same time. And let's see this message from God to us. And the first thing we see is that you belong to Jesus. Now this is the gospel. You belong to Jesus. Now the book of Romans is a letter written by the Apostle Paul sent to the church in Rome. And in verse 1, we're told that it's from Paul, and we're told that he's an apostle. And he's written many other letters, one of which we studied recently, Galatians. We're also told that Paul was set apart for the gospel of God in that verse. That Paul is an apostle set apart for the gospel. He's set apart for the spread of the gospel. That's what it's talking about. And so much of what Paul's ministry is about the gospel. And so it's really helpful to remember, well, what is the gospel then? We've just celebrated Christmas, and as you look at verses 1 to 5, you can see that many things in those verses were told to us as we looked at the birth of Jesus. And the reason for this is because Paul wants to give them an explanation of the gospel. It's about Jesus who has come down to earth. So let's have a look at verses 2 to 5, and I'll read them for us again. I'll start at verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who was, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Now the gospel is good news about Jesus. Now, unfortunately, while the gospel is good news, we understand the word good very differently today. In our culture, we tell others that we're good when we get asked, how are you? When in fact we mean, well, I'm actually not doing so well. and we use fantastic and amazing when we probably mean good. So how do we understand this good news? And maybe a better word for us is momentous news. Momentous news. And the reason for this is because the news of the gospel is of great consequence. See, the gospel is good news. It's monumental because it's the news that brings life to dead people. Now, I'm using lots of other passages in the Bible to explain what I'm saying here. And I'm skipping a lot in this passage that refers to who Jesus is. But the good news is new life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Now, we've just looked at Jesus' birth over Christmas, But Paul looks at, in this passage, looks at grace through Jesus. He means through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are given life. In verse 5, we see that through Jesus, Paul says that we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. See, Paul says that he was called by Jesus to be an apostle so that he could call Gentiles into faith, so that he could give them a knowledge of Jesus. See, the gospel was originally for God's ancient people, the Israelites. But now with the death and resurrection of Jesus, things are different. Paul says his task is to reach the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the non-Israelites. And what he says in verse 5 might be a little confusing, so let's just clarify what it's saying. See, Paul is saying that his role as an apostle is to call Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Now, there's two things here. There's obedience that comes from faith. And you need to notice that obedience is a result of faith. It's always faith first and then obedience second. It's never the other way around. And we talked a lot about this recently as we looked at the book of Galatians. We're saved by faith. And because of this, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we are now able to respond in obedience. And it's God's power that gives us that ability. And Paul's mission was to call Gentiles into this faith, into a belief in the good news about Jesus, into a belief of the gospel, to believe in Jesus. And then we get to the most important verse for this point in verse 6. It's a letter to the Roman church, and they believe in Jesus. They have faith in Jesus, who has given his life for them. And Paul says to them, "And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus." The Roman church were called as Gentiles to believe in this gospel, to believe in Jesus, and they believed. They're part of the same family that Paul was called into. And the striking thing that we're supposed to notice here is this incoming of the Gentiles to believe in Jesus. It was always part of God's plan. He was always interested in all people across all nations. But here we see specifically that the Roman church, full of Gentiles, has faith in Jesus and they belong to Jesus. Now, this same truth is for us too, isn't it? If you have trusted in Jesus' death for your sins, then you belong to Jesus. And this is wonderful news. If you've trusted Jesus and never told anyone, then I'd say, well, tell someone today. If you haven't trusted in Jesus for eternal life, well, then maybe today is a good day to ask him for the faith you need to trust him. And you might like to do that now, to sit there and pray and ask God to give you the faith to understand this good news of Jesus. The gospel, God's gospel, is a message about his son. It's all about Jesus. And when we trust in him for our eternal well-being, well, that's good news, momentous news, because he gives you his spirit and you get to be called his child. And if this is you, then you belong to Jesus. And then once you belong to Jesus, we then find a whole lot of other things happen too. And one of them is our next point. And our second point is that you belong to the gospel. We belong to the gospel because this is momentous news about Jesus. You belong to Jesus. And Paul, in verses 8 to 13, reminded the church in Rome that the work of the gospel has changed them to be people of faith. They now belong to the gospel. Paul's heard their faith. He's excited for what God has been doing through them. And he writes in verse 11 that he longs to see them. Paul's excited to see them because he wants to see God's work in their lives, see God work in their lives and in those around them. And he says in verse 13, "That I might have a harvest among you just as I have had among the other Gentiles." See, Paul's committed to the gospel. He's seen the gospel of God at work in the Gentiles, and now he wants to preach the gospel to work where they are, in Rome. He wants to preach to them and to those around them. See, Paul belongs to the gospel and he has a desire to share that gospel. And that's what we see in verses 14 and 15. The sharing of the gospel is as a coexisting of both obligation and eagerness for Paul. Now look at verse 14 and we'll read that. It says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. See, Paul carries with him an obligation to tell everyone this good news or this momentous news, to Greeks and non-Greeks, to wise and foolish. Paul has an obligation to everyone, and he feels the weight of that, of the gospel that he belongs to, and he calls it his obligation. Now, the word obligation can also be used as for indebted. So if I borrow $100 from you, well, I'm in debt to you until I give you the $100 back. But if someone gave me $100 to give to you, well, then I have an obligation to pass that money on, don't I? I can't hang on to it. I've got to pass it on. And this is what's going on for Paul. He's been given the good news about Jesus and he belongs to this gospel. And now he has the obligation to share this good news, to pass it on. He can't keep it to himself. He's been given something great and he has to pass it on. He can't keep it to himself. He's obligated to preach the gospel, to preach the good news of Jesus. And because he has this obligation to preach, he can't keep quiet. He's under obligation in a very positive sense to share this great news. And then he goes on and explains this in another way. And it's here we see this coexisting of both obligation and eagerness to the gospel. And we see that in verse 15. He says, that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So he feels an obligation to preach, but here it's an eager desire to preach. And why is Paul so eager? Well, I think it has to do with verse 13, so I'm going to read that. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. So Paul is under an obligation to preach, and he's also eager to preach, because he knows that people will respond to the gospel and come to Jesus. He's seen the power of God's gospel at work. He's seen people come to know Jesus. See, Paul belongs to this gospel. Every part of him knows that he's been given immense and monumental news to preach. So he feels both this obligation because people need to hear, but he's also eager to preach because, well, the good news about Jesus brings about a response. It's a message with power. And he feels the obligation and eagerness to preach and make Jesus known. And this is the right attitude to have, isn't it? To realise both that obligation we have to tell people this momentous news, news that takes someone who's destined for death and gives them eternal life. And if you belong to Jesus and you belong to the gospel, then like Paul, you are under an obligation to preach. But like Paul, it isn't just an obligation, is it? But we do it with all eagerness, knowing that this life-changing news is the best news ever. We belong to the gospel. As we're heading to our third point, for today, we're going to see that the gospel is nothing to be ashamed of as we think about those things. You won't be ashamed of the gospel. Now, as I say that, I know that many of you may feel as though Paul was amazing. He was an incredible evangelist. And you may think to yourself, well, this is not me. This is not me. Now, maybe you feel ashamed of the gospel, or maybe you're not so much ashamed, but maybe you think that you'll get something wrong as you speak about Jesus, or perhaps you're worried that the response you get might, or maybe you're just worried about the response that it might bring you. Maybe you'll be ridiculed for speaking about Jesus. Some friends of mine were on a college mission a number of years ago, and they were knocking on doors to share about Jesus. And one of them said to me that they approached every door, they would knock on the door, and they would always come with a sense of humility and apology. And they started their conversations at every door by saying, "Oh, sorry to bother you. Sorry that we've interrupted your day." And my friend said that every door that they went to was shut on them. They couldn't work out what was going wrong. Well, afterwards, they all got together and the group of students shared about their different approaches. And what my friends learned was that all the other groups went in with no apology. They went straight in and they said, "I'm here to tell you the best news ever. Can I come in and share it with you?" And it was these unapologetic people who were invited in and who enjoyed time sharing about Jesus. But they went in without apology. They had the expectation that God would save people. They were expecting God to do something. Now I want you to look at verses 16 and 17 with me. We're in our third point, and what we see is that you won't be ashamed of the gospel. Look at verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Can you see what it says there? Look at verse 16. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Now, why is he not ashamed? Again, continuing verse 16. He's not ashamed because the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. See, the gospel isn't Paul's power. It's not Paul's amazing arguments. It's not even Paul's insight into the Jewish religion. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. Where's the power in the message? Well, it's with God, isn't it? It's God who works in the person's heart to believe that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. It's not our words. It's not our arguments. It's not our good looks or even our ability to communicate that helps people believe and come to know this gospel. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. Can you see why we don't need to be ashamed? Because while we communicate the gospel to people, and while we prepare well and know what Jesus has done for us, at the end of the day, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. The gospel is not about our persuasion. It's not about the power of positive thinking. It's the power of God that brings salvation. It's a spiritual exercise. And while we do everything we can with all obligation and with all eagerness, the gospel message is God's power for all who believe. So you won't be ashamed of the gospel. Because if there's not a response, or if there's a negative response, or even if there's a hostile response, that's not for us. That's not our concern, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's God working. And so as we share and proclaim this momentous news, we should share about Jesus without shame, because we know that God can work. God can change the most hostile of hearts. He can move mountains and get a camel through the eye of a needle, because with God, nothing is impossible. You won't be ashamed of the gospel, because when people respond, they give glory to God. So then, what's the message for all of us? Well, the gospel is the work of God. It's His work to do, and when we speak, He will do it. He will bring people into His family, even when we lack the coherence to share the good news of Jesus in a convincing way. It's New Year's Eve. How is God's message to you going to shape your year ahead? What will 2024 look like because you know that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe? And as you remember this, what are your hopes for the year ahead? As a follower of Jesus, what do you hope to see? Paul had hopes to see more people come into the church in Rome. He had great expectations. Do you have these expectations for your friends? For those who don't know Jesus? Well, I want to leave you with a few things for 2024. Because I think it's good to get ready for the year ahead. I've been doing a lot of planning and I'm feeling prepared and I'm anticipating that God will use our plans for his purposes. So why not get ready for the year ahead? And I've got some suggestions for you. And the first thing is get ready to pray. In verses 9 and 10, Paul speaks about how he's going to pray for those he'll meet in Rome, that he's constantly remembering them in his prayers to God. He prays constantly, he prays consistently. And as you look at verse 10, you can't help but see his dependence on God to prepare and go before him and make things ready for when he gets there, for when he preaches with all obligation, with all eagerness. And I think we can do the same. Pray that God will work. Pray that God will go before us. Pray that God will do something in the lives of your friends and neighbours. Pray that he'll use you or this church to grow his kingdom. So get ready to pray. And the second way we can get ready for 2024 is by getting ready to speak. Paul in verse 15 showed his eagerness to preach, and what a wonderful attitude to have. And maybe we can pray for the same eagerness to preach about Jesus to those around us. See, from what we've seen today, each one of us doesn't need to be ashamed if someone rejects the gospel. We celebrate when they do respond positively, but it's all the work of God to bring salvation to the person. But there's one key thing that we all need to see here, and that is there is a need to speak. Speak with all eagerness, speak with all obligation, speak knowing that God can work. Know that people will come into the church this year and they won't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And those of you who do know the gospel, well, you need to be ready to speak the gospel into their lives. What a great opportunity we have to speak about the salvation that God offers to all people. And he wants to use us. What a privilege, what an honour. So let's get ready to speak with all eagerness. Jesus gave his life for you. He gave his life so that you can be friends with God. And I started talking today about a birthday card and what we write in them. And if this was a card, well, the encouragement for us today is to remember who we are in Jesus, that we belong to the gospel and to not be ashamed of the gospel. And I think these are great things to have in mind as we head into 2024, that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to the gospel, and there's no need to be ashamed of the gospel. So let's pray that God will use us to grow his kingdom in 2024. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks to you for your Son, for the life-saving news of Jesus for us. Lord, we ask that you help us to see who we are as followers of Jesus, to know that we belong to you, our faithful Saviour, that we belong to you in life and in death. We belong to you as messengers of your word, vessels that will bring good news of Jesus to those around us. And we ask that you use us in 2024. May we be prepared and ready both to pray and to speak about the good news that we have been brought into. Lord, we ask that you use this church for your glory. In the strong name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.